Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, a lesbian, an assistant director, and so many other things I can't even name them. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since she knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
And how are you?
Good. And we should tell our listeners that next week, in honor of Labor Day, we're going to take a day off, and so they won't hear from us until September after that. So we both need a much-needed rest, and you have. You're not going to be resting. You're going to be working very hard between between your America's Got Talent and Lisa's band flying all over the place to make wonderful things happen and everything going on. You know, good things are in your cards, but you do need a week off.
Okay.
So I think that sounds good,
a week
correct?
A week off from everything, or just a week off from the radio show?
Just from the radio show, my dear. I don't have the power to remove anything
I
else from your life.
I could use a week off, Cindy. I'm good like that. I'll take a week. It's all expense paid. That's fine. I'll do that. That's cool.
Right. I mean, isn't that nice? I mean, our friend Nancy Atlas in Montauk has a song, I Want One Day to Do Nothing, to sit by the beach with a bottle of beer. And one day she was live playing at an event, and TJ asked her, he requested that one for me. So,
oh, that's great.
So I think I'll take one day to do nothing but sit by the beach with a bottle of beer. How's that sound?
That's awesome. I could do that.
I know, me too. I could certainly do that. And, you know, because we're winding down with the summer, and, you know, it went so fast, and I think, hold on a little bit while we can. And anyway, we do have a lot of callers tonight, so, you know,
that
we're not having a show next week, I think we should just dive right in there and get as many. But, oh, I did want to mention a little bit about commitment phobia before we started, because, you know, I got that email, remember, about talking about some things in our book. And someone said, is there only one kind of commitment phobia? And I thought, well, that's a good question, since there are three different kinds. And, you know, we do say the word commitment phobic a lot, and I do try to clarify. There are the closet commitment phobics, which most people are. They say they want love, and then they kind of, you know, pick people that can't commit, and then they could say, it's not my fault. He or she didn't commit. We have the closet commitment phobics. Sometimes people become a closet commitment phobic after they've gotten their hearts broken. So they may not have started out afraid, but they get afraid. So that's a pretty common thing right now among the younger generation because, you know, there's just this commitment issue going on. So, you know,
it becomes really
an epidemic of the closet commitment phobics. Then we have the classic one. That's the guy or the girl who says, I'm not looking for love. I don't want a relationship. And my feelings are, what are you not hearing? When that person clearly said, I don't want a relationship. And you keep chasing after that person. Anybody who keeps chasing after people who are not available, whether they're married or they're just saying, I don't want a relationship, has closet commitment phobia. Because otherwise you would run. Don't you think, Nicole, would you stick around when somebody says, I don't want what you're selling?
Exactly. You know what? I mean, it's fun. It's actually funny that you chose this of all topics for today, Cindy, because, and I'm very, very happy that you did that too, because, you know, I really do want to start getting back to the principles of the book as well, you know, even if it's only for a couple minutes in the beginning of the show. But earlier this week, you know, one of the friends that I've made on the set at work, you know, has been engaging.
And that's
in
America's Got Talent, Phil?
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
okay.
So that's America's Got Talent. Yeah, it's not the other set yet. We're going back into production, I believe, late September, early October. You know, so we're going to be finishing that project up then. But, yeah, so this is America's Got Talent, and one of the friends that I've made on the set there, you know, she's been engaging in some sort of a love affair, you know, with one of the people that work there. But, you know, it's a geographically undesirable situation because he is only in New York until the show is out of New York, and then he's going back home, you know. And this kind of casual, you know, we're together when we're together and when we're not type of relationship has existed with them for a couple of years. And this was the year that she told him, you know what, I want to try to make something work. I'm really getting into you and blah, 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 blah. And he flat out said, you know what, I'm not at that place yet. You know, it might be different next week. It might be different next month. It might not be different until next year. I don't know when it's going to be different, but I'm just not at that place right now. And you know what? I don't want that. You know, we can be friends and we can hang out still, but, you know,
the friends with
benefits. Not really what I'm looking for. It's not really what I'm looking for. But he was honest about it. And lo and behold, she goes back over and, you know, she wound up spending the night with him, you know, another time. And then when he didn't react like a boyfriend would, like a love interest would, when he wasn't treating her special and doing these things, you know, I you know, didn't really know what to tell her because she didn't really want to hear what I had to say, and she got all upset, you know, and it was very, very, you know, she's sitting there crying about how he's treating her. And I turned around, she's like, well, this is, you don't understand, it's a pattern, this is the story of my life. Everybody always treats me this way. I'm just a dumb blonde. I'm just this. I'm just that. Going on and on. She was very, very just down on herself about it, down on him about it, you know. And, of course, he was the only wrong one in that situation. And I had to exercise a little bit of tough love, Cindy. And I said, you know what? I said, you can't really blame him. I said, and if this is a pattern, I said, then it's up to you to break that pattern. I was like, if you're not doing anything or if this keeps happening with everybody that you meet, okay, then maybe that's something that you're putting out there that's leading these people down that path to treat you this way. And I turned around to her, I said, and you want to know what that something is? And she's like, what? I said, you are commitment phobic. And she goes, I am not. I want a boyfriend. I said, yes. And if you want a boyfriend so badly, I said, why are you picking anybody and everybody who doesn't want you in that way or who lives too far away from you or is in a relationship with somebody else and unwilling to give that relationship up for you? Like, why is it always a situation like that? Because I like a challenge was her answer. I said, no. I said, because secretly, you're afraid to get hurt. You don't want to face the fact that maybe what these people are telling you is, in fact, the truth. And then you're turning it around and you're making it their fault. I was like, you are just as at fault as anybody else. So that being said, when you are a commitment phobic, part of that responsibility, whether somebody is running from you or not, part of that responsibility is yours. You are in control of your actions. They're in control of their actions. And if somebody is commitment phobic and running away from you, and you're still running towards them wondering why they're doing this to me, it's because you're commitment phobic too. Hate to break it to you.
Right, and that's exactly it. So anybody who's listening, if you've been chasing after somebody who doesn't want what you're selling, you have to understand you have your own commitment phobia. Otherwise, you would take your 2 feet out, you would get annoyed, and maybe that person would actually come to you because they would fear losing you more than loving you. So,
Another thing, Cindy. That's another thing. You just said something very, very important in all of that commitment phobia talk. Okay? Even if you are a closet commitment phobe and you're chasing after somebody who doesn't want you and you make that resolve, well, fine, I'll find somebody else. The answer is also not keeping one foot in with the person that doesn't want what you're selling in order to find somebody else and have one foot in and one foot with somebody else until you see where that something else is going. That is not an answer either. You need to be self-sufficient and okay on your own 2 feet. Okay? There should be none of this, well, I'm going to put 1 foot here and I'm going to dip 1 foot there to see how that works. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to dip it someplace else. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to dip it even someplace else. That's not the way that that works. You stand on your own 2 feet, free of any commitment, and then you choose to make the commitment. You don't
exactly.
make commitments while you're still engaged with somebody else.
Exactly. And so we have the closet commitment phobic, which is probably the overwhelming majority in of things. We also have the classic one who says, I don't want a relationship, or she says, I don't want. And then we also have a pretty large number of committed commitment phobics. And everybody says, what does that mean? Well, you can be married and you can be in a long-term relationship and still be a commitment phobic if you're not committed with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. A lot of marriages, they just come home with their bodies only. They don't communicate. They take advantage of each other. They're not heart, soul, mind, and body committed. So, you know, if you're married, it doesn't fool me. If you're not truly committed, if you're staying in a marriage that was never right to begin with or hasn't been right for a long time, you have your own commitment issues because you're involved in something you're not committed. So,
yep.
You know, there's only 1% of the population that's truly not any kind of a commitment phobic. So it's not a lot of people that don't have these commitment issues. So, you know, that's that 1% that maintain soulmate love, which is that committed heart, soul, mind, body love, committed to healing. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are just not committed to healing, and love demands you heal your issues. You get over yourself. You know, knock it off about your childhood. Nobody really cares when you're 50 what your mom did to you when you were 5. It's really getting old. And,
yes.
you know, it's moving on beyond our own personal traumas and just learning to heal. So, you know, the lesson for today is commitment phobia. And because it comes up in every single show, I've been getting some interesting emails saying take a little time to describe certain things that you say a little bit briefly in your readings. And so I hope that commitment phobia, and you needed to hear that you gave the right advice, Nicole. You gave better advice than anybody could have given. So whether they like us or not, and a lot of people will
yep.
fight me tooth and nail that they're commitment phobics. And I'll say, you're married to a man for 20 years. You haven't loved for 18. How are you not afraid of commitment? You know, and they'll fight it and fight it. I mean, it took me a long time to realize when I was married for 29 years that I was a committed commitment phobic. I was married to a man. I hadn't been committed with my heart, soul, mind, and body for a long time. So, you know, I think it's a common kind of reaction, a common thing, but
mm-hmm.
working on that is important.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, we're going to dive into our first caller. I don't know if anything we said has anything to do with our first caller, but we have an 868
well, you know what?
Number.
And that's usually the way it goes, though. So let's just see. We're going to go to the 868, all right, and see who's waiting for us there, Cindy.
Okay,
cool. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Jen. How are you?
Hi, Jen. How are you? You've been waiting a long time. I'm sure you must have something on your mind. Would you like to tell us what you need guidance about, or would you...
I do. I have been at a crossroads for quite some time. Almost when you have too many options, it's almost you complain when you have not enough or too many. But I've been working really hard towards a goal, and I've accomplished some of it, but it's not really materializing, I guess, as quickly as I had wanted to. And I feel like I'm being pulled in two different directions. They're both, you know, major life choices. So I was wondering if maybe, you know, those that have passed can shed some light about what, you know, where to go, what to do, because it's keeping me up at night.
Yes, I can imagine, because you got the what if card a lot. The what if this happens, what if that happens, if only I did this, if only I did that. Kind of worry. There's a little bit of mixed messages in your cards, by the way.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the commitment phobia thing we were talking about. Unless we're really clear with sort of 2 feet somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not one foot in, 1 foot out somewhere, it's hard to have things manifest. You actually have two sources of income, potentially very lucrative here.
Okay.
One is much more creative than the other venture.
Right.
And the creativity one is probably the one you really want to head more toward.
That's correct.
But of course, you know, creative ventures tend to go a little slower. But the point is, if you look, you can make money. You're a hardworking person. That's not an issue in your cards. You always work hard. But you can work hard and make money but not love it.
Right.
Or you can work hard and love it. But you almost have to take that leap of faith, and you know, you older souls, and you're a very old soul, by the way. You have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
Now, your grandma's telling me that when you were young, you had a lot more courage than you have now. That's not unusual for a grandmother to say, but you had a lot more courage, and you could use a little courage now. your fear is the what-if-ing is sort of sabotaging you.
Yeah.
Because it interferes with the laws of attraction.
Okay.
You know, you need to visualize where you want to be 1 year from now and 5 years from now career-wise and just see that venture being very successful. And the universe will guide your steps. But if you stay up at night what-if-ing it, if only I did this, what if you sabotage the laws of attraction? That's all fear. And it's always a negative what-if. It's never a positive what-if I, you know, make a million. It's always, oh, God, what if this is the wrong thing? So, yeah. I mean, isn't it odd, the OCD thing? I mean, if we're going to be OCD and obsessive, can't we obsess in a positive vein? But you're standing in your own way. You're getting in your own way. There is a point where we have to take that leap of faith. And we have to just really throw ourselves in. Of course, older souls never leave their day job until they're sure this other one's flying. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm the same way. But I did, in my own career, have to take a leap of faith about 4 years ago and just totally put myself into, you know, the psychic and the relationship totally and leave a children's entertainment company that had been very lucrative for 30 years. For me to walk away from that business and close the door was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But in taking that leap of faith, and I said, God, you want me to take this leap of faith, you got to guide me, and you got to help me, and you got to give me that extra money that I'm going to need to do this. Within 3 days, Newsday named me as one of the top psychic mediums on Long Island, and it flew. Now, you got to ask God to open a few doors for you here.
Yeah, I mean, is this opportunity, you know, it's actually correct what you're saying about the two opportunities, because that is, you know, it became more apparent today about a second opportunity. Like you said, one is really more of what I want. I'm just wondering, because I'm kind of like just waiting and waiting and waiting, and I just, like, I don't want to go for the first one, but I've made that mistake in the past, you know, just go for the one because you feel it's fate. But it's not actually, might not be the best option. You know, am I going to be able to have things to choose from, or?
Yes, absolutely. But it's, again, really taking that leap of faith forward and, you know, stop with the what-ifing at night. Because, first of all, it's so draining. And what-ifing this bad happens, and what if that bad happens, and what if I should have done this, and if only I did that, is very fear-based. And once we get into a fear-based thinking and give into it, we never make the right decisions.
Yeah, you know, want to know my biggest fear, and this is why I'm always in limbo, and I've been in limbo about this forever, which I'm sure, you know, a lot of women at some point in their life, I feel like women have so many more difficult decisions to make than men.
Right, absolutely.
I want to be a mother. I do want to be a mother, you know, and my husband and I are kind of at the point where we're saying, okay, by this date, if this doesn't happen, we're just going to do this. We're just going to jump in and do it. I guess it ties into the theme that you were talking about commitment-wise, but, like, I feel like we're almost sick of going back and forth and deliberating. And, you know, I know I'll have time to be a mother, but I'm trying to figure out, am I being pulled in a different direction? Like, I almost feel like the universe is playing a trick on me. Like,
sometimes in order for us to even get a career flying, we may not even know the right career flying until we follow one path. I mean, when I became a children's entertainer 40 years ago, I would not have known about that unless I had a three-year-old and saw a very, very bad children's entertainer. And having been a theater major in college, I said, you know, I could create very good children's entertainment. And that career came because I had my child. Now, at the point when I had her, you know, sometimes we're all worried about money. Can I afford this? Can I afford a baby? Can I afford to have this? How is this going to affect me? It was the most lucrative thing that could have happened to me, having a child, because it put me in alignment with a very lucrative career. So sometimes we're sort of doing things ass backwards.
Yeah.
You know, hearing the voice that you want a child is an important voice to hear, but worrying about money and can we afford this and all of that, your generation tends to worry more than any other generation. I mean, you also, you know, your grandma's laughing because they knew how hard it was to make a living, and they didn't have such great abundance when they had kids. They leaped forward with that decision to have babies.
Yeah.
And it all turned out okay.
I think I'm okay with, you know, we'll make it work. We always do. But I guess I'm very, going back to the OCD, I'm very panicky in my head about well, how am I going to go to work and do this, and who's going to watch the baby, and, you know, if I start a new job, you know, am I going to have to, you know, build up time, take time off? Like, I'm very panicky about big picture things because I just turned 31 and I feel, you know, we want to have a few kids. So I just feel like pressured, you know, and everybody says, well, you're young, you're this. But to me, I feel like, you know, knowing what my husband and I can handle, you know, we don't want to do everything all at once, even though that's really the way it goes. I just, I guess I'm just wondering, you know.
What is going on in you is OCD is not a constant. It's a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And normally you're about a 4 OCD, which isn't bad. But when life changes happen,
yeah,
it shoots up to like a 7.
Yeah.
And then it becomes almost a paralyzing amount of fear.
Yeah.
And you can't make a decision one way or the other.
I really can't.
And that's OCD. And if everybody's got some level of it, it's not all bad. OCDs make very good writers, performers, workers. I'd rather have an OCD doctor obsesses about how many sponges he's put in me so he gets the right amount out. I mean, think it's good when it's the constructive OCD.
Yeah.
But life changes bring it on to make it a really, like, destructive influence. And, you know, behavior modification is the only thing that works for this. And as you approach 40, by the way, your brain chemistry will shift, and you can master a lot of this if you just practice behavior modification. But it's kind of, are we okay today? What's on my plate today?
Yeah.
And focus on today and see positive outcome. And also a little bit thy will be done as far as babies go. In terms of God, it's, you know, God gives babies, and kind of when we are all control freaks, well, I don't want babies today. I want it to be pregnant, you know, so I can deliver in May because I need June, July off.
Exactly.
You know, it becomes insanity.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more thy will be done. Make a lot of love, see what happens, and a little faith that, you know, the older you get, the more fearful you're going to be about having kids, in all honesty. I think you have to be almost young to take that quantum leap of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, the babies are important here. You're going to be a very good mother. Whose father has passed away, by the way?
There are two fathers that have passed. My husband.
Your dad is gone, correct?
Correct.
Okay, because your dad is the one speaking. And, of course, I asked whose dad because there were two dads in the room. So, both of the fathers are saying, for God's sake, make a baby. They're laughing so hard up there. You can't imagine the hysteria of these two men. It's like they can't wait to be a grandfather, you know, grandfathers that watch over your children.
Mm.
And your dad is saying, you know, his death affected you greatly. I can see in these cards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to overcome our fear of loving someone who could die on us. And once we've lost a parent or lost someone we love very much, that fear really kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And really, having babies is a great leap of faith. And it's also, God, if I bring this being into the world and anything happens to it, I'm going to be out of my mind. It's a very scary venture to be a parent.
Mm.
But the love or the need to be a mother has to be so great. And the belief that angels and spirit guides and your dad would never let you down.
Mm.
Your dad, you know, is so excited about you becoming a mom. Your father-in-law, you know, is saying the same thing. So, you know, you wanted guidance from the other side. And, you know, your dad is saying, you know, believe in yourself. I mean, your dad was a worrier too, by the way. Did you know that about him?
Kind of.
He just kept it more inside in him to himself.
Yeah.
But he said, we had fear. But we also, you know, had faith. So nothing is bad in your cards except you're trying to figure out the exact, you know, time for everything. OCDs are control freaks. And, you know, all older souls have had many lifetimes are control freaks. We dot our I's, maintain our papers. We're careful and cautious. But there is that leap of faith. That's all you're being told. Have that leap of faith.
Okay.
And take it. And do you get signs from your dad, by the way?
I've been getting more recently, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cause he's a pretty clear voice, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's the one saying you were a very good daughter, by the way. And, you know, try not to mourn for him too much. Know that he's still around. And you're supposed to learn how to commune with the dead from your dad. So, you know, listen to his signs. But again, a lot of your fear is just kicking in because of so many life changes.
I just want to ask you another question. I know you have other people on the line. Does my father-in-law have any messages for his family or his wife?
Well, first of all, you know, he misses all of them very much. He's crying. Your dad's not crying. Your dad, has your dad been gone longer?
Yes.
Because, you know, usually the longer people are gone, they don't cry anymore.
Yes.
He says that your husband is mourning too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he's a man who, if he could be here, he would be and be vital. I mean, he loved his family. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who truly loved his wife and his family. He believes in his son very much, by the way. I don't know if he said the I love you words enough because he's frantic for you to tell his son how much he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that he's crying over that. Did he tell the words? Because he seems to think he should have said it more.
Yeah, they actually said it all the time. That was, you know, when we were first dating, I heard them say that, and I was like, wow, I never heard
And he
that.
Just said he should have said it a million more times. Now, can you imagine?
Yeah, no, they did say it a lot.
He loves his son very much. There's really nothing bad in your cards at all. You know, you'll be a mom. Money looks good. You have a good husband. You know, your husband's a lot like his father, a man who'll make a good father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who's Joseph, by the way?
Could be a couple people. Why?
Because your dad said Joseph, so I'm not sure what that means.
Dad or John's dad, my husband?
Your dad said Joseph, and then John's father said the same thing.
Joseph is my brother-in-law, his son, and Joseph is also my next-door neighbor.
Well, because you're talking about John's son, and your father-in-law's son is Joseph, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, can you give a big hug to Joseph as well?
Yes.
Big hug to Joseph and a big hug to, you know, to you too. And your dad is smiling, the most charismatic smile, so I bet you he had a wonderful smile on earth. And just know that these men love you.
Okay, great.
And they're so happy. They're like jumping up and down. They go, we got through to your show. So I'm laughing at your dad saying that because, yes, we got through to your show. So even the dead are excited to talk.
Okay. No messages for my mother-in-law because she always asks.
First of all, he's just crying over her. She was the love of his life. You know that.
Okay.
He loved her. He wants her to move on with life, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she's going to kill you if you say that.
Yeah, she will.
But she needs to know that she's young yet. She has a lot of life in front of her,
mm-hmm.
and that she can't stay alone. So I think he has something good in mind for her. So
okay,
we'll keep our eyes on that one.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate it.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling into our show.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have Denise in Farmingville.
Yes, we do. We have Denise in Farmingville next, Cindy. And basically, she is currently not in a relationship. And the reasoning why, Ms. Vita, Denise's own words, is because she is a closet commitment phobe. And you could actually tie your book into this very, very well, Cindy, because her husband did die. She had a wonderful 28-year marriage to this man. And her children, who are all grown and adults, don't want her to date anybody. And she's just absolutely petrified. She's
okay,
petrified.
So we're telling them not to date anybody and have no sex for the rest of their life, too. Okay?
I am so happy that you said that because I did. I just want you to know, Cindy, just because I want to see how on I am tonight, I already gave her my advice. In the chat room. I just want to see how many times, and Denise will verify how many times you say something similar to what I said. So, yes, her children are in their 20s and up, and they don't want her to date anybody. They don't want her to be with anybody else. She would like to be with somebody else, but she's afraid to put herself out there. You know, and as you've gone over in your book, and I'm sure as we even discussed on the show, you know, when people die on us, that is one of the things that leads us to making a choice not to commit. So and she's also, Cindy has been receiving signs. Sometimes she'll feel like there's spider webs on her, and, you know, that there's somebody trying
but
to tell her something, and she's not getting it. She's just not understanding what these signs are for her. So you know what? Maybe you can touch base with somebody on the other side and decipher what is going on in Denise's little world over there. So let's speak to Denise.
Hello, Nicole.
Denise. You are on the air.
Thank you, Nicole. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Denise. Now, I'm just laughing because that generation of children, oh, my God, you know, telling you not to date and spend the rest of your life alone. Would you ever ask your kids to spend the rest of their life alone for you?
Never.
I mean, it's just overstepping boundaries. And you know, I can't stress enough, like, how narcissistic are our children? We were the... And for you, it's not fair for them to ask you to do that. And first of all, your husband thinks, how dare they say that? I mean, he's livid over the whole situation because you were a very good wife and you gave him 28 years and you were committed to him and you loved him. And he said you took a lot of crap from him in that 28 years. And, you know, you loved him no matter what.
I gave it to.
And okay,
he's
so
honest,
he's just funny.
Know.
He's according to him, you were a doll. So
okay.
He's saying, no, my Denise was a doll. So he doesn't have anything bad to say about you. But he's saying, but you gave it all. You were committed through good times and bad times. Your love went up and down a ladder. You worked to keep it good, but you were for better or worse to sickness and in health until death do you part. That's what you promised him. You didn't promise him. Until I die, even if you're dead. That he's saying this is ridiculous. And that if he's not jealous, and first of all, he's going to bring you somebody. So he says your kids can like it or lump it.
Okay.
But basically...
It sounds like something he would say.
I mean, he could care less about their opinions right now. And he's so funny because he's asking me, am I allowed to get angry? And I go, of course, if you're angry, be angry. He's just saying you're young yet. You could live, you know, to be 100. You can't be alone all this time. And, you know, as time goes on, your kids will be busy with their life. They're always busy with their life. If they have time for a say, they might have time. But he said they're going to go off and do what they're going to do. If they want to move to the other side of the world, if they want to go to Mars because that's where their life takes them, they're going to Mars. They're not going to look back and think about you. And, you know, he loves his children very much, by the way, and he misses them. He's just a little disappointed in their thinking. So the man that he would like to bring to you is a very nice man, hardworking, would make your life a lot easier, someone for you to go to the movies with and have a nice dinner with, and, you know, a companion, a friend, and, you know, a lover. And he says, I hope you're not afraid and will run away. You don't use your children telling you this as an excuse. Because later on you'll be, you know, we're going to turn and say, well, you made me do this. Nobody can make us do anything. I could never make my daughter do anything. I know you can't make your kids do anything they don't want to do.
You're
they
right.
Do what they want to do. Ultimately, you may be using it as a form of closet commitment phobia to say, well, this is what my kids want. But later on in their life, they're going to regret that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... Your husband does give you a lot of signs. He's in your house a lot. Do you feel him around there rattling around?
Yes, I do. I've seen shadows and banging on the house. And
right. He's definitely walking around your house. He's definitely in there. Your dad is gone, too?
Yes.
Because your dad does a little rattling, too, by the way. So you've got these two men. They watch over you. They watch over the house. You know, you're lonely. Do you tell your children that? Do they know that?
Yeah, I sure do. And
okay.
It doesn't matter. You know,
right.
I'm taking care of the bills and, you know, whatever.
Right. And again, you know, this is something that, you know, do you remember the songs your husband liked, by the way?
Sure. I heard one the other day.
Now, that was a sign. Because the songs are getting older by the minute. So it's like, it's not like something you should expect to hear, but he's... Loving that you know that that's him sending you a message in a song. You know, he also, you know, is in your house. He does sometimes that spider is just sort of that feeling of spider webs is just that gentle touch they give us.
Okay.
And he does give you that sort of gentle touch to let you know that he's around.
I mean, that's really why I called tonight, because, you know, I was making dinner for whatever, you know, the kids and whatever, and I keep feeling this, like a poke or, you know, like a hair. You know when you get a hair?
Sure.
On a spider web, and I'm like, knock it off, you know, like, and my daughter's like, you are crazy, you know, like, what is your problem?
No,
like,
you're not
I'm
crazy.
I'm telling you, I feel something on me.
And it's definitely, you know, they just do like a little gentle stroking or something like that, and they let us know that they're around. You know, he's a man who he just doesn't want you to be alone. I mean, I don't know how he was on Earth, but I will tell you this much. He loves you very much, and, you know, he promised to take care of you, and he promised to be with you. And, you know, his death ended that for you. But he still wants to take care of you from the grave by bringing you someone good to love. Soulmate love comes from God and someone who died. And that would be his gift to you. He doesn't want you mourning for him so much. He feels your pain. And, you know, he,
I could cry.
I know. He feels your pain. I mean, he's a very nice man, by the way. Very respectful to me, thanking me for delivering a message. I kind of, it's the oddest feeling that I get from the men when they come through. They get a phone call from the grave, which they are astounded. Your husband's astounded by the opportunity to talk to you from the grave. I mean, he I don't think he believed in this on Earth, because the way that he's so astounded by it would tell me he probably didn't know that he could.
No, I don't believe he. I don't think he believed it either. You know,
and that makes it all the more amazing to him. And he's trying to prove death ends a life, not a relationship. He says he'll pop thoughts into your kid's head that what they're asking of you is wrong.
Okay, great.
And he says, "Don't worry, I'll work on them." And you know, are you doing some work in the house, by the way?
I am trying to.
Because he says you need some things done.
I need a lot of things done.
Okay, and he says, wouldn't that be nice if I brought you a man handy with a hammer?
Yep.
I mean, he's
and
so
a wrench,
funny.
And a mechanic and a plumber. And
yeah.
A,
wouldn't that be nice?
Someone who's not afraid to climb up on the roof, you know. Tried
right.
It. Almost broke my neck. I'm not doing that again.
Right. That's why they pound on your roof. They don't want you up there. You're not a roofer, for God's sake. You know, leave the leaves in the gutter. But they're basically telling you, you know, your dad and your husband are saying, we have a really good guy for you.
Good.
And, you know, be happy. And that's
it's very hard.
No, of course, it's very hard. You know, first of all, he says that, you know, you worry about money constantly, which is never good for anybody.
Yeah,
and when you lose a husband, you not only lose your mate, your lover, but you lose part of your economics. You lose, that's a significant problem for people.
Yeah, I'm working three jobs.
He had three jobs?
I do.
You have three jobs, yes. You work like crazy. And he says, wouldn't it be nice if I could bring you a man who could take some of that off of your shoulders? And that's what your husband says, the hell with the kids. I'm just laughing. He likes me because he knows that I'm on board with the hell with the kids part. You know, and did you lose a dog, by the way?
Yes.
Because he's got the dog up there.
Oh.
Running around. So, you know.
Yeah, I could cry.
Okay, so no, he's got the dog. And I got the resting in peace card. He's resting in peace that he got to talk to you. He said, he says he feels very, very happy. He feels like incredible peace coming through him that he got to tell you some things.
Good.
Again, the I love you words are flowing from his mouth. And just know that he'll give you signs. You just have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he really misses you beyond words.
Well, I feel the same way.
And, you know, he said you grew up together, so.
you know.
Exactly, yep.
That makes it even harder because you were with him, you know, a long part of your life. And you know, but again, we have more than one soulmate. You will be granted another soulmate. You have to just let it be and open your heart to it. Love comes to those who believe in it. Love comes to those who let themselves open to it. And again, your children, you know, blocking your path. They'll have a lot of regrets in their afterlife, by the way, because they will answer to God for the fact they kept their mother from having a soulmate. We want to save their immortal souls, don't we?
Yes,
so,
we do.
So think about that. And children by nature are odd because they are competitive sometimes with us, jealous of us, and sometimes just overstep boundaries in a way that if we told them not to have love for the rest of their life, they'd be screaming at us. I mean, we wouldn't even say that to them.
Right. I wouldn't even think of, right.
Would you ever think of, would you have thought to tell your mother not to have love in her life? We would never told our parents what to do.
Nope.
We never overstepped our boundaries with our parents as to what was our business and what wasn't. Because they taught us right from day one that way.
Yep.
I mean, their business was their business. And just know that your husband will give you a very clear sign in the next few days. Is there a significant date coming up, a birthday of some sort?
The end of September, yes.
Okay, so that'll be the day he'll give a very, very significant sign. So.
Okay, and my mom is good?
Your mom is always good.
Okay.
It's funny because your dad, the men are coming through tonight. I don't know why more than, but you know your mom's always with you?
Yes.
Do you always feel her?
I try to. Sometimes I smell that evening in Paris, and that's 100 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how they do that, in case people are wondering, it's not actually the scent in the room. What they do is, and it's the same way they talk to me, they touch parts of my brain where memory lies. So they know what I know, and they'll say, and they touch that part. And the memory of smell is on a part of our brain, so where the memory of evening in Paris lies in your brain, she just has to gently touch that part, just the way your husband's been gently touching you, and it stimulates you to have that your part of your brain think it's smelling it, but it's not actually there.
Amazing.
So it's like a cigarette smoke. They do it that way, too. They just gently touch that part of our brain. It took me a long time to figure out how they did this. And, you know, how they actually did it. But, you know, I finally realized they do it by just playing our brains like a piano,
mm-hmm.
just hitting different parts. So they're amazing. Those who have crossed over are totally amazing in their ability to want to get signs to us, to want to be clear. And they're loving this, too. They're loving to have the opportunity to talk from the other side.
Well, I tell you, I do miss them. You know, every day.
And he misses you, too.
All right, I'm sure you have a lot of people
waiting. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Denise, and have a wonderful end of the summer.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night, Cindy. Good night,
Nicole. Bye.
Goodbye, Denise.
Now, did any of what you said come through with her?
Of what I said came through, specifically about the children, because I literally stopped dead in my tracks. When she told me that, because you know what, Denise sounds like she's such just a loving, warm person. So, and I could not imagine like it because I just couldn't imagine somebody that's loving and warm and that seems to have just such a great energy about her. I couldn't imagine anybody wanting her to spend the rest of her life alone. You know,
I know.
And especially her children. Like I could never, you know, I would never like you know I don't need.
Would you tell your mother that, Nicole? Would you ever
absolutely
tell your mother?
Not. Absolutely not. You know what? My mother is, you know, has been looking for love her entire life. You know, my mother's had a very, very, you know, tough past, and you know, she's been married more than one time, and even now she's like, you know what? I'm done. I don't need it. I'm, you know, I'm never doing this again. I'm never doing that again. She's, how many times am I going to do this? And I went, Ma, until you get it right, until you find the one that you were supposed to find. I'm like, that's when you stop. You don't stop now. You don't just give up just because it didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out. You know what? You keep trying until you do it. Just like school, just like sports, just like anything else. You try again until you succeed. And that's it. You know, that's just the way that I am with that. You know, like I couldn't imagine anybody just wanting somebody like her to be alone.
Yeah,
no,
I can.
And that's really important that that message be delivered. And,
absolutely.
And I'm glad that
right she... about the spiders and stuff touching her, whatever. I knew that that was somebody trying to get her attention, you know. And actually what we should have asked Denise was, does she find that she's getting these, you know, these touches around specific times? Is she sad when she's feeling these touches? Is she more happy when she's feeling these touches? Did she just have a fight with her children about whether or not she's going to date when she feels these touches? Like, these are all things to pay attention to, because it could be a touch of just consolation from him. It could be, you know, a honey, don't listen to them type of thing. And it could also, you know, very well be, you know, honey, I'm enjoying what you're enjoying right now, you know. So, you know, Denise, I'm sure she's still listening. Just keep track of when you're getting these signs, and maybe that will also help you decipher what the messages are, you know, because
right.
I know that with me, I was doing a lot of things that just didn't make sense, and then when I started putting all of the pieces of the puzzle together, I started taking down when I was getting signs, the way that they were coming through, I figured things out better. So for anybody out there that's receiving signs and you don't know how to decipher them, take a look at the circumstances surrounding the sign that you're getting, and I'm sure it'll click at some point.
Absolutely. Now, I'm letting my husband into the house, who's been in New Hampshire for 3 days, and I haven't seen him for 3 days.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Hello,
TJ.
Husband. Welcome home. I know. Imagine, it's the first time in almost five years where I haven't slept with him for two nights. It was unusually long days. I'm glad he's home. That made me happy.
Good.
So we do
very
have
good.
Joanne.
You know what? You can hear it in your voice when he got home. So.
Oh, I'm so happy to see him. It's like the light just came on in the house. I mean, not that I'm not fine on my own, because I am, but
well, of course, he's the fun.
All I did was work. There was no fun here, you know? The fun was gone.
Well, you know what, Cindy? We're all okay by ourselves, but just when you meet that right person, somehow you're just better.
Right, of course. Absolutely. Now, we had Joanne,
so,
and I know she's
we
been
do.
On.
Joanne is actually, well, she's calling from Long Island, another Long Island caller here, and she's having some health issues there, Cindy, you know, and then she was very, very broad. She wants to see what you find out, you know, what you're picking up on, you know, without too much information, you know, so she's concerned about her health right now. Do you see anything health-wise coming up for her, either positive or negative? And, you know, she's really concerned as to what her angels and guides might be saying right now. And she wants to know if they have any messages for her
We don't get that many people asking us for angels and guides. And I
yes.
love that, because besides
Absolutely.
Having our family members... They, you know, humans can never be angels, by the way. You had to have been angels to
yes.
begin with. Angels are a spiritual army that protect, you know, beings in heaven and on earth. Guides are other people who we may have known in other lifetimes. They may be a guide sent down to help us with a particular issue, like a health issue. So asking about the angels and guides, I'm glad, because we really haven't had that brought up in the show much.
Well,
A lot of people don't realize that,
you know, that you get so many different things coming through that it's not just generally some people that you know. You know, the help could come from, even if you don't believe in it, the help is still there for you, for when
right,
you're ready.
Exactly.
So,
and a lot of times I'm not sure who the voice is sometimes even. I just trust the source. And sometimes if it's a parent or someone that came through who wasn't a particularly good parent on earth, they won't reveal themselves to me for a while until I deliver the message, and then they reveal, because the person would not accept that parent has changed that much that they would give that kind of advice. So
yes,
sometimes I have
course.
To be a little diplomatic about it. Do you know what I mean? Because they'll be like, no, my father wouldn't have said that. No, not on earth, but he has changed.
Yes,
and
you have
for
to
the
understand
better.
That.
Now, let's see with her, because I do see a pretty, you know, significant health issue here. So,
okay, well, let's go right into Joanne. Joanne, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, it's me.
Hi, Joanne. Yeah, with your health issue, there's definitely a mind-body connection going on here with you. And, you know, were you very stressed out prior to this illness?
Yeah, that's my normal nature, actually, I think.
All right. And know that there's more mind going on here than body, but the two together is not great. You've gotten several opinions on this, you know, medical opinions?
I'm just starting to get that.
Okay, because you need to get more than one opinion, by the way.
Okay.
A little bit more holistic approach to what's going on would be helpful, too, for you.
Okay.
Ultimately, when is your birth date, just the month and the day?
The month is October, day is the 18th.
Okay, that's because I thought you had a birthday coming up in the next few months. By the time you open up your birthday, your October 18th and the next October 18th, some of this should start being resolved, and
okay.
You know, positively.
Okay.
So you know, you just need a little bit of courage to, you know, kind of face what you got to be facing, because it's never easy to have a health issue. It looks a little like an autoimmune disorder. Have they diagnosed at all what it could be?
No, not yet. I'm in the testing phase.
Okay, and you know, it just. Sometimes people would rather be sick than face some issues that might be popping up in your life. So, you know, it's easier for us to have physical pain than mental pain and psychological pain. With you, there's a lot of mind-body going on in these cards. And, you know, the stressing out isn't helping any.
Right.
But ultimately, the outcome looks good. Do you have specific symptoms that are driving you crazy?
Yeah, the nausea and the stomach upset.
Right, because those things are very mind-body connected stomachs. I mean, I grew up in a very, very stressful childhood. I don't think a day in my life went by when I didn't have a bad stomach ache growing up. Once I moved out of my household, my stomach aches went away. It's like kind of amazing, but there's a lot of stress in your cards. Stomach area is the chakra concerned with money and the earth plane. Were you stressed out about money this year?
Yeah.
Are you worrying about your job and things like that?
Yeah, well, I was trying to shift into a different a job, you know, like a career, a second career, you know, fulfill my dream kind of thing.
Right, and don't... Now, that's your gut. Your stomach is your center of your gut, your intuition.
Right.
Trying to pursue this career is important, but by getting ourselves sick, sometimes we say, well, now I can't do it. I'm too sick to do it. And we sort of sabotage ourselves a lot. So, you know, mainly what I'm seeing here is a lot of nervousness, a lot of stress. I'm not saying you didn't become something because we stress ourselves out. You know what I mean? Illnesses are real. They're not fake. But I'm not seeing something so major that you have to, you know, the major sort of illness that, you know, I saw in the cards in the beginning is just sort of, it could get worse if you don't address it. But it looks like...
You mean ignore it? If I ignored it?
Well, you could sort of ignore it, but what's going to be better is, you know, look, if you think...
No, I'm not going to ignore it.
No, you can't, because if we do that, then it's going to be not even if it's not bad, but just making ourselves more stressed out. Oh, my God, what if it's cancer? What if it's this? You know how people get. Everybody
yeah.
starts. Once we get it diagnosed, we don't know what it is. That's a good thing. Okay, that means it's in my head. That means I have to, like, take it down a notch. But, you know, getting those testing and doing some things and finding out what it is, but really there's just way too much stress in your cards. Are you aware that you're stressed out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what percentage I'm making myself worse with the stress. I mean, I'm literally, if I'm not, you know, I'm creating like my own, God forbid, heart attack.
Yeah. Okay. Now, and that's something we all got to acknowledge. Okay. So always good to get it checked out, get it diagnosed. Here, you know, well, I don't know. It could be like, you know, irritable bowel. It could be, you know, whatever. Hearing some things and then just, you know, realizing, okay, I don't have anything like major, so now I can relax on that, helps things get better. But, you know, really stomachs are oftentimes, you know, sometimes just so much stress. Maybe you're just getting hypersensitive to certain foods and things like that as well.
Am I creating, is this some sort of creation from, what is the issue? I know it's the solar plexus.
Right, that's usually concerned with, A, we're not following our gut. Our gut's telling us something's rotten in Denmark and we're not listening. So our gut, we tend to get sick to our stomach. Two, it's concerned with the earth plane, making a living, as opposed to following your creativity.
Yes, that's exactly it. You just
that's
nailed
the two worlds. That's the two worlds at war right now. So look, isn't our subconscious brain brilliant? If I make Joanne sick, she's so sick to her stomach. Now she can't go follow her dreams because I made her sick. Now our subconscious mind sabotages, and so you might want to, you know, take a little steps forward to your creative venture. It doesn't have to be, you know, steps forward. You don't have to have that career tomorrow. It's something you're working for and toward. But maybe you're putting yourself under too much pressure, too.
Yeah, well, I feel like my dream might, you know, I'm being pulled to do the practical work rather than reach for my dream. So that's the big, you know, I'm torn apart by it.
Now, torn apart, can you feel the word you're using? Doesn't your stomach feel like it's being torn apart? Don't you feel like you're just ripping out your insides?
Yeah.
And realize that addressing the mind-body connection, that you're not going to quit your day job. You're too old a soul to take a big risk like that. You're going to stay with your day job, but you're going to slowly inch into your creative one until you take that leap of faith when it's right. Maybe you just need to be a little, like, doesn't have to be tomorrow my dream job, but it's within the next 5 years that I'm going to totally build toward that, or the next 2 years. You know, that you're putting yourself under a lot of pressure here.
Is there any message from my guardian angel?
Okay, first of all, your guardian angel is saying relax. Relax and you know, follow your dreams. They're going to manifest. You're going to have that career that you want. And your guardian angel is asking you to have courage, and you're much stronger than you acknowledge, by the way. You're just torn between sort of the pig parent inside of you that says you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you shouldn't be doing this, and the nurturing parent that's telling you, go for it, try. And you have too much of a should and, you know, should voice inside of you. And, you know, your angels, you know, first of all, your angels said, I'll guide you in every way, but you just need to believe in yourself a little more. A little more of believing and a little less second-guessing yourself. You have a very strong guardian angel right now, by the way. Believes in you, and your spirit guides believe in you. You have to ask your spirit guides for a little help, by the way.
Do they give me signs? Can you pick
they
up
They give
any?
You a lot of signs, and the signs are more are thought forms. They're popping thought forms in your head to take it easy, to relax. I think you're trying not to hear them, but you are surrounded by a lot of angelic beings, so you could relax a little bit on that.
Okay.
Nothing is bad in your cards. It's more what's going on in your head than what's going on in your body, by the way.
Okay.
You know, and that's something for you to keep in mind. But once we go to a doctor and we hear, oh, look, we don't know what it is, and if the doctor gives you some nebulous, you know, I think they make up names of stuff sometimes, just like, we don't know what this is, fibromyalgia. I mean, they don't even know what that is. It just is something that gives you a label for things, like when people have aches and pains.
Well, I feel that I've been going to doctors, but they don't listen to me. They don't hear me.
Yeah, well,
which
that
is
well,
a theme for me.
Well, they don't hear anybody anymore, by the way. I'm finding they have 10 minutes to diagnose something, and they're running in and out the door. So... It's demanding. Look, you know, you look at them, and I'll go to look. Look, I'm paying for 10 minutes. I want your undivided 10-minute attention here. Do you know what I mean? You know, try to, if they're not hearing and listening to you, how are they going to diagnose it properly?
Sure.
A lot of times with women, you know, they think it's a wandering uterus, that we've got this thing floating all around us that's not real. Again, stomach aches are very real. Stomach disorders feel very real. I'm not saying our minds don't make them worse, but they feel real. And they hurt. And again, you know, learning that you don't have anything that you have to really, truly worry about will be a break for you. But, again, if nobody's listening to you, that isn't helping any.
True.
So just assert yourself a little bit. But, again, don't, you know, get so that they just want to give you something, because people just feel like if they get a prescription, then that means they, you know, something's going to be done. Don't just take whatever you're given without researching it, too.
Right, I do
to
that.
Make sure this isn't going to make my stomach worse.
Exactly.
Well, good luck to you at the end of our show, and thank you so much for calling in. You could call back and let us know how your health goes.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Nicole, any shout-outs from you?
Yes, Cindy, to you, because as always, you've done a lovely, lovely job. So my shout-out is to you, my dear.
We covered a lot of range tonight, huh? We had a lot of different things.
We really
things going
did.
On
we
tonight.
Went all over the place. I love it.
we really did. We went to heaven and back, didn't we?
Well, you know what it is? We needed to cover so much basis because we're having an off week next week. So anybody that needed advice next week on a different topic needed to hear that advice tonight. So.
And they could always listen to an old show in the archives. Could just pick any one because the universe will know which one you need to hear next week.
Exactly. But all right,
Brian,
Cindy, welcome.
Have a great week off, and we'll speak in September. Bye.
And give your husband a hug for me.
Oh, I could have run up and give him a big hug. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.